You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the elusive river otter with Luann Johnson and Liz Baldwin, wildlife biologists with Biodiversity Works, and they're researching the river otter population on Martha's Vineyard. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So these river otters have been known to travel overland many miles to inshore ponds. So one would think they would find plenty of food in the saltwater habitat. So why do they go inland?
Usually it's for spawning. So when a bunch of fish are spawning, they will move to where those fish are spawning. So you see that more in riverine habitats. But in coastal environments, they may be just staying in these big ponds. And, you know, that's one of our hopes one day, is to put a tag on an otter and follow them around and see what they're really doing. But also during in March, the young will disperse. So the young actually stay with the mom for the entire year. And then in March, they'll move and disperse into other habitats. So that's when they're probably moving the most.
Yeah, of course, somebody say, well, why not put a tag on them? It's expensive, right?
It's very expensive. Very expensive.
And I would imagine it's tough to kind of catch them if they're, you know, shy and they're running away from humans. It might be a challenge there even to catch one.
Yeah, in a totally different way than a skunk. So they're aquatic, and but on top of that, they don't really have a neck. So actually, it's highly invasive to do sort of radio telemetry with an otter. You can't put a GPS tag, you know, a satellite tag on an otter, and you can't put a collar on an otter because they don't have a neck. Right. So actually, in order to do radio, some sort of telemetry and movement study with them, you actually have to capture them and sedate them and have a veterinarian implant an abdominal transmitter in them. So because those studies have been done in Alaska, you know, the question is, well, do we really have a tremendous amount that we need to know in order to, do we want to take that step and do something? You know, the otters that were, that had the radio telemetry in Alaska, you know, they had very high survival and they did fine, but it's just a big step to do. So we'll think carefully about that before we do. But
so you do the other research first and see if you can find some of this information without going to that extent.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Dave is giving us a call from Chatham. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was fishing about 2 years ago in Pilgrim Lake in Orleans, and I'd seen one maybe about a year before in Yarmouth and Long Pond at night, and I thought it was a muskrat. And then this time when I was fishing, I'm casting in towards the dock, and all of a sudden you hear this, like, raspy noise behind me, and I turn around because I'm thinking it's a swimmer wanting to get back towards the dock. And there's a little otter bobbing his head up and down behind me, and I'm like, oh, my God, who are you? You know, and then so he starts swimming around me because I was using live bait, and you like the smell of it. So then I paddled away, and I went over towards, like, the island out in the middle of the pond, and as I was paddling over there, he was following behind me and came shooting up like a whale in front of me. And I was scared, the goodness gracious out of me. So at that point, I started yelling to another kayaker and trying to get his attention. And I think he thought I was crazy and started paddling away. But then when I talked to the game warden about a month later, he told me, oh, yeah, they love live bait, and they're wicked curious. And he's like, he's probably just following you around because of the smell.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, what a great story. I would have done the same thing. The same thing. They kind of look like muskrats to me, too. But, yeah. Wow, he followed you around.
It was dark at night, and all you could see was him coming in and out of the shoreline. So that's why I figured he was a muskrat, but he was too big. Yeah. But so they're definitely around here.
Yeah, and that's dusk. That makes sense, right, Luann?
Yeah, and which way? Did you say Pilgrim Pond?
Yeah, Pilgrim Lake in Orleans.
Pilgrim Lake in Orleans, okay.
And then Long Pond in Yarmouth.
Yeah.
They both have herring runs in them, so that's where they can get in from the ocean.
Right. Yeah, there's regularly during the herring run, there's regularly otter scat down here on Oyster Pond, but near the beach where there's that the fish
weir.
Like weir there. That I've seen otter scat there pretty regularly, but you know, a lot of people do mistake them for muskrat because, you know, when an otter's in the water, majority of their body's submerged, so you don't really see the full size of them.
You see their heads,
You just see their heads and a little bit of their tail.
So all you could see was them going in and out because one of those submerged tree lines on the edge.
Cool. Yeah. And he was jumping out of the water too, did you say? Or just
popping
up?
Well, no, so I saw him, so I was like, okay, you're going to scare all the fish away, so I'm going to pull away from him. And as I was paddling away, he all of a sudden comes shooting up in front of me, about 5 feet in front of me.
Oh, so you could really get to see him then.
Yeah. Like, honest to God, I mean, he scared the living bejesus. I'm in a little kayak.
Yeah, great. Dave,
I got to go back to work, but
thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So they're shy from humans on land, it sounds like, but they're curious, right? So if you got that bait in the boat, they might go, hey, what's the smell? It sounds like you know, maybe there's a buffet over there.
They're most comfortable in the water. So if you're in a kayak, they'll definitely pop
they'll
their head
up
and maybe snort at you a little bit. But on land, they'll go straight back into the water.
All right. Liz is giving us a call from Mashpee. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Didn't actually see a river otter, but I saw their tracks in Bourne-Town Forest.
And how did you know?
Well, I didn't know. I came home and told my husband what I saw, and he got very jealous. what I saw was four paw prints, and what they looked to me like a dog, and they were like a loping dog. So four paw prints, several feet later, four more paw prints.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I saw was what looked like a tire track with no tread for about 15 feet.
Yep. They're both nodding their heads, Liz. You definitely saw otter
and
tracks.
And you even know the lingo, the lope pattern. Yeah. You must track other things.
Well, I was walking, I walk my dogs in the woods and it's just fun to see what's out there.
They're beautiful tracks. Really, they're kind of artsy tracks to see, the river otter tracks, the four, the clean four and kind of in that diagonal line, and then the space and the other four, and then the tobogganing trail that you saw.
Yeah, with their bellies. Is that what they're doing there, or their tails?
They sort of kind of tuck their feet up right next to their body and just
slide.
Lift them off and then slide.
Ah, okay.
And then you'll see sometimes where they get lazy and they'll push a little extra, to get another 3 feet out of their trail.
Funny. Liz, thanks.
It was really interesting. It was on just a very small snowfall, and I followed it for almost a mile before it disappeared off into woods that I couldn't track.
Oh, that's fun. Liz, thanks for sharing that with us. Amy Vince, the producer of The Point, had the same experience. There's an article, we should say, about your research in the Winter Spring Martha's Vineyard magazine, and there's a picture of the tracks, and Amy was cross-country skiing on the golf course near her house, and she said, I saw the otter. And she wouldn't have known had she not seen that picture. So a lot of people are seeing them and probably not even realizing what they're looking at.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Rob's giving us a call from Wellfleet. Hi, Rob.
Hi. I have a couple of otter anecdotes where they're not very elusive at all. I used to live in Port Townsend, Washington, and I was waiting for the light to cross the main street, not much of a main street, and I realized the traffic had just stopped and everyone was staring at me. And that's because an otter was waiting to cross with me.
Oh, how funny.
And it just crossed the street with me and then hurried off to a restaurant where I guess people fed it scraps.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were on foot.
I bought, And when I bought salmon off the boat, you knew that you had to watch your feet because the fishermen threw the scraps in the water. And the otters collected those, and they'd sometimes resent competition if a customer to buy a whole.
I think the key there was, Rob, you said that the restaurant there across the street would feed the otters, so maybe that's why it wasn't, it's like, hey, these people are pretty cool, I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah,
that would have been a great photo, though, right, of him crossing the street with the otters.
That would have been.
Well, the tourist shops there actually sell T-shirts printed with otters crossing the main street.
That's great.
That's Port Townsend's up. Yeah, it's one of the places where you get the ferry, right?
Right, to Whidbey Island.
Rob, thanks for that story. Yeah. That's great. Appreciate that. All right, Joel is calling from Brewster. Hi, Joel.
Hi. In Brewster, I used to see him quite a bit on an isthmus between Upper Mill Pond and Lower Mill Pond. And other places around the circumference of ponds, as usual. It's greatest time, of course, it's only had a foot of snow, because that's when they love to slide long distances, as was described, even on the level, just by giving an occasional shove with their feet. And there's probably a lot of people seeing their trails, not knowing what they're looking at, but it's almost impossible for anybody else to get there anymore, because these pond ridges have all been developed on Brewster, and the houses are side by each one on the other one's lawn. And if you go walking down there, people come out there and run you off the place until they themselves find a track and find out what it is, and then all of a sudden they get all excited about sea otters. Mm-hmm. But there are just so many places that you're sure they're there, but nobody ever gets a chance to get in there anymore. Yeah. Because yeah. Overbuilding and right. Stuff like that.
Jill, thanks. And that's an issue. That's part of what your research is about, is having a baseline so we can see how, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening to their population, because we are, you know, in a lot of ways taking some of their habitat away with development, right?
Yeah, we have. And over the years, I was just looking at some of the numbers and you know, I think this is a sort of a minimum number, but 200 million acres of wetland mm-hmm. in the United States has been developed. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that otters were declining. I think by 1998, they'd recovered back to nearly 90% of their original range, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their densities mm-hmm. in that range are as high as they originally were.
Right.
And so before the Clean Water Act, you know, they were definitely very negatively impacted mm-hmm. by some of the pollutants in the water. But it's still, we're still dealing with development. And even, I mean, even something as simple as a lot of people, if they live near a pond, they put a fence up because they don't want geese coming into their yard. But if that fence has no openings in it, that means that a river otter who normally maybe crosses through that pond
to
get from point A to point B is bumping into your fence and is having to find a new, you know, a new route. Yeah. You're rerouting them perhaps into some, you know, into the oncoming traffic or
something you don't think about. You know, I guess we might want to think about, you know, when you're doing something, what's the natural world in your backyard, and you know, how can you coexist?
Yeah, how do you coexist, and do you know what's around?
Yeah, Suzanne is calling from Brewster. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's a huge otter that's living in the river in back of the Yarmouthport post office, and it has to come out. Because the river is bisected by a little bit of driveway, so it has to, that's how I saw it. It had come out of the river to run a few feet to get back into the river. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Mm. I forgot these things even existed.
Yeah. How exciting for you.
So it was really cool. I was happy that I saw it. It was large. It was probably as large as a seal.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. They get that big. Wow.
Big male. Yeah.
So I'll get off so you can take more calls.
Yeah. All right.
So I can listen, but
right.
You're here.
Oh, Suzanne, thanks for that. If you've seen a river otter or evidence of one, give us a call. We'd like to know where they are. 866-999-4626, because Luann's jotting notes down every time you say where you've seen them. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So they spend a lot of time at these latrine sites. Do we think this has to do with how they communicate with one another through scent marking?
Yeah. Yep. So otters are kind of, they're more social than other species. And I actually had cameras out for a year for my thesis and collecting data on what they were doing at these latrine sites, kind of spying on them. And what they were doing there was just smelling and investigating the scent that was left. So that kind of told us that, you know, they're more interested on what the message is than leaving a message. Mm. So females are a little bit territorial, so they'll be leaving the message like, this is my spot. But males are more social, and they form these bachelor groups. So they'll be leaving scent to sort of group up with each other again and find each other after the mating season. So during the mating season, they disband, and then they're leaving scent to tell the females, you know, they're here mm-hmm. and available. But of course, we never truly know what the message they're leaving. But
all right,
that's my guess.
What's the story, Amy? Has eight otter bromance on Chilmark Pond? What is that?
That was the largest group size that I captured on my cameras, and it took me probably 20 minutes to count all of them because they were moving so quickly. But I came up with eight otters at this one spot, just leaving scent, rolling, wrestling with each other.
Having a grand time. That's funny. All right, Kitty is giving us a call from Edgartown. Hi, Kitty.
Hi, Mindy. Sitting here on Edgartown Great Pond on Turkey Island Cove, I see otters quite a bit, especially now when it's starting to get the pond starting to freeze. Mm-hmm. And they have this wonderful game where they get some kind of a fish. I can't really tell what it is, and they play soccer with it. You know, there may be three or four or five of them out there, and they slide and they go down the water holes because we have springs in the pond, and then they'll pop up someplace else and they'll throw the fish, and it's just wonderful.
How fun. What? Oh my gosh, you should try to video that.
Yeah, I wish I could. But the other badder side is I have witnessed twice otters chasing dogs across the pond.
Oh.
And the dog is really unhappy because I think the dog probably found their nest.
Oh.
And so mm-hmm. they're getting it away. And four of them will get, you know, on both, two on one side of the dog, and they bite them, and they herd them across the pond. It's really quite exciting to see, but not good for the dog.
Not good for the dog.
On ice?
No, this is in the spring in the water.
Yeah, in the water. Yeah, we definitely. Thanks for calling in, Kitty. You've been on my hit list of people to meet. Happy that you called in.
Well, come on by.
Okay. But that's one of the things is that otters really are afraid of dogs, and because that is one of the things, one of the predator that could kill them. But in particular, they're very concerned when they have kits. So they are aggressive, especially a female otter. And anytime from April through June or July, you definitely want to be cautious if you have a dog near the water. And definitely if you see an otter and you have your dog, don't let your dog go in the water with them.
Yeah, I was out in a kayak with my dog once and got picked up by the otters. And there were four of them again. There were two in the bow and two in the stern.
Oh, they were chasing you.
And they were escorting me away from something.
Wow. Yeah. They're smart.
But I had the dog in the kayak, not thinking I'd see otters out there.
Yeah, sure.
I thought, oh, this could end very badly for all of us.
Yeah. Kitty, thanks for calling in.
Okay.
And so you mentioned dogs. Do they have other predators other than dogs?
No, I mean, really not much actually kills and eats otters like a typical predator would, but there are, there have been a few instances of coyotes killing an otter, I've actually seen photos of an otter chasing a coyote.
So
a
brave
wolf could, or a mountain lion could, or something, because otters actually do make pretty long overland treks sometimes. And on Martha's Vineyard, they definitely move across, actually through the state forest even, moving from, let's say, Lagoon Pond headed towards the South Shore. And so we keep looking for a really nice snowfall that sticks around long enough for us to be able to get some of those roots, because they'll still stick to a traditional route even in the snow. But anyway, they're vulnerable to a variety of things, but dogs are known to kill them. And
so where do they have their kits that dogs? Is it along the river edge or the water's edge? Where do they?
Yeah, in dens. And we've only found six on the island, and there's probably more. They're very secretive about
where
they're
hidden pretty well.
Yeah. But they are having them in dens close to the water.
All right. Phyllis is giving us a call from Tisbury. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
It was fascinating to hear Kitty's call, because I was calling. I live over on Lambert's Cove Road. And last summer, in July, I heard my dog bark, and we have a small vernal pond that sort of probably feeds off of Blackwater Pond. And the dog was in the water. I called her out, and I thought it was a duck at first in the water, and it turned out to be an otter who was quite interested in her and followed us. I was watching him, followed us around the pond for, I would say, 20 minutes to half an hour as we went from side to side. And he just seemed curious. I don't know why I say he, but didn't seem aggressive at all. But I was quite concerned about the dog and the otter and the potential for a bad altercation.
Yeah, maybe if he'd gotten a little closer.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was interesting because we walked, from side to side, and the otter swam around and came very close to us. It was really quite amazing, actually. But there was no, it didn't seem like a hostile kind of event. But I know when we walked during the snowfall last winter along Blackwater Pond, there were all kinds of otter slides all along the pond side down there. They were really having a good time sliding all over the place.
Yeah, it's a very active place.
Yeah.
And I should say that it actually is a really famous video out there on YouTube of a river otter playing with a dog in a backyard.
Oh, really?
That there's this wrought iron fence, and the river otter's coming through the bars, and the dog are dashing around, and then the river otter zips out through the fence, then comes back in, and they're playing. And actually, I have a friend who lives on Deep Bottom Cove who had a big dog that used to chase and play with the river otters up on land. But
so I guess once they figure out there's no threat, and maybe when there's no kits around.
When there's no kits around, I would say it could be. But you never want to assume that they're going to be friendly,
for sure.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to assume that.
You're wise, Phyllis, especially if you have a small dog. Yeah. I would be cautious.
Right. No, it's a big dog. She's about 80 pounds.
Okay.
They thought she was another otter. I don't know.
All right, Phyllis, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
We're talking about river otter research with Lou Ann Johnson and Liz Baldwin, both wildlife biologists with Biodiversity Works. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.